coming up with my laptop there. It refused to print, so just decided to rip it out of the wall and bring the whole thing. All right. So, for those who don't know, I'm Micah Quindazzi. I'm one of your newer members to the Victoria Ecclesia. And I decided to do my topic on John 8, verse 7. So if you want to turn there, maybe you probably already know where I'm going with this. John 8, verse 7. So then they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." So, gossip happens all the time between every single one of us, whether we know it or not. And it definitely is something that happened to me when I was a younger kid. When I was about 12 years old or whatever, going through public school, I wasn't necessarily in all the cliques. And so I was definitely the last to hear of a lot of gossip. I remember one time there was a rumor going around that I had liked some girl or something. The last person to find out about this was, of course, myself. So it's when I had this happen to me, I definitely looked toward the older brethren in my own ecclesia. I come from the Southern New Hampshire ecclesia. So one of the brothers that I had talked to was Brother Paul Melanson. I don't know if any of you know him or not, but he's a brother there. And so when I asked him for words of encouragement, he definitely threw me through a loop when he stated, "The most important thing we have to remember when reading the Bible is God is just." Now, at the time, these words really didn't provide much comfort in any sort of sense. But as I've grown up, I've definitely taken them to heart because I see what they truly mean. When looking at the events of Christ, this idea comes up a number of times. And one of the most notable occasions is here, right in John 8. So the encounter. Basically, Jesus has gone up to the Mountain of Olives in John 8, and a bunch of Pharisees come up with this woman who was... And the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who was taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, the very act." So right now, they're trying to bring forth a situation to trap Jesus. Because what they ask him to do is, "Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" Basically, they wanted Jesus to either say, "Yes, we should stone her," which would be against the Roman law, saying that Jewish authorities could not commit capital punishment against other Jews. And if he said not to stone her, then they would claim he didn't uphold the law of Moses. Also, if he didn't say anything, then they would say he didn't have enough wisdom to answer their questions. If we turn to the law in Deuteronomy 22, verse 22... We read here that if a man be found lying with a woman married to another husband, then they shall both die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so that shall put away the evil from Israel. According to the law, both the man and the woman caught in the act of adultery should be put to death. Just as a side note, I probably know a lot of you know this, but it's really odd that no man was brought forth along with this woman if she was supposedly caught in the act of adultery. Now, when we go back to John 8, I just want to keep a footnote there because we'll be hopping around. We finally see that Jesus answered in verse 7. So when they continued to ask, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her." Now, going back to Deuteronomy, the first stone was supposed to be cast by those who witnessed the evil at hand. "The hands of the witness shall be the first to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so that thou shalt put the evil away from among you." And here's the number one thing that gets overlooked by the Pharisees. The main purpose of these stonings is so that the evil shall be put from among you. They didn't bring forth this woman to Jesus because they were concerned about her evil among the people. All they came to Jesus with were evil intentions and did not care at all for the fate of this woman. When Jesus reminds them that none are sinless, they're forced to leave, because if they said that they were without sin and cast a stone, they'd be blaspheming. If we go to Galatians 5:14, we find that, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this is another idea that the Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't love the woman, they didn't love Jesus, and they certainly weren't really caring too much for the people, trying to trap Jesus in their schemes. And so they just don't understand the purpose of the law, and this is another theme that we can see throughout Jesus' time with the Pharisees. The next part of the encounter is just between Jesus and the woman. And I'll start at verse 10. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman there, he said to her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Basically, what's happening here is Jesus just let her go with this warning. And we see that Jesus uses this warning one more time in John 5:14. You don't have to turn there because it's basically the same thing. But he also states to the man that he was talking to in the temple, "Lest a worse thing come upon thee." Now, if we look in John, further on in John 8, in verses 15 and 16, we see the reasons why Jesus doesn't judge this woman. He says to the Pharisees, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." And in back in John 5 as well, in verse 30, we see that Jesus says something similar. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me." What Jesus is trying to say to these Pharisees is, he's not doing anything of his own will. It's the Father's will, because who is just? It's God. God is just. And that is why we have to realize that with the law and everything, we see plenty of times in the Old Testament, some people did break the law, but it was for God's will or for God. And those people weren't killed or anything. I'm thinking of, can't remember that one example. It's during the wilderness, and the man had brought the foreign woman into the camp, and I can't remember if it was one of Aaron's sons had killed this man, even though that wasn't necessarily what the law was supposed to do. But anyways, if we look throughout the New Testament, and Jesus keeps on saying it, God's will is to give up his son so that we have a chance. And that's explained in Acts 3. Verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of our Lord." Now, looking at the story of these Pharisees, this can relate to the issues of gossip I had when I was younger. If we have an issue with someone in the ecclesia, we know what Jesus says to do there in Matthew 18. You guys don't have to turn there. I'll just read from it. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." The most important reason that this method of going to your brother to talk about the faults that you see in them is that way, it's so that you gain your brother. That's the whole purpose of it, is to gain your brother, because we don't want to lose each other in our walk to the truth. We don't want to lose each other to the ways of sin And so by going in between just two people, it is more empowering to both you and that person rather than going around and telling what they had done. Gossip is such an easy way to lose one another, because the more we badmouth in the endeavors of other people, instead of coming to them, what have we accomplished? We lose each other. We lose ourselves. We all make mistakes, but we shouldn't regard each other as enemies, but as brothers. And that's from 2 Thessalonians, kind of paraphrased. And we also have to realize that because God is just and because of what his will was, that Jesus died for our sins, because every single person that's here, every single person then needed that sacrifice, because none of us could have made it without that sacrifice. And now I'm going to borderline on the not so liberal side of that and say, we do also have to be wary if people in our midst are making mistakes and we go to them and then we're supposed to go with one or two more. In Matthew 18, it says, but if he will not hear thee, then take one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear unto the church, let him be thus as a heathen and as a publican. Basically, we need to do as much as we can. There are certain limits at which the brother will no longer hear us, but we just need to keep trying so that way there is a chance that we can save our brother rather than the 100% chance that we're just going to lose him. And so that is the mainstay of what I was going to go through. And if anyone has any questions, comments, anything.
That son of Aaron was Eliezer that dealt with the couple that were committing fornication, I suppose. They were grasping for the name. That was the name.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Of our Lord Jesus. I always get a little nervous going through the